And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. With me, I have my co-host, Charlie. Say hello to everybody.
Hello.
And Tamika will be joining us in a few minutes. She's actually in a short little meeting. But what we're going to do is Charlie and I will go on ahead and give you our thoughts on this Matrix Resurrections. And then when Tamika joins us, she'll have her thoughts. But with further ado, let's go on ahead and get on with it. So The Matrix Resurrections, of course, is actually the fourth installment into the Matrix franchise, and it had a budget of $190 million and made $70 million at the box office. This is just a little small synopsis of what this film is about. Thomas Anderson is a successful video gamer, developer, creator of the Matrix video game series based on faint memories as Neo. And so that's pretty much what this film and this premise is about. But at the very start of it, I have to say, I was actually dialed into the very start of the film a little bit, where we're actually introduced to some new characters. And those new characters is Bugs and somebody else. And so basically what winds up happening is this. You wind up seeing them basically fanboying, fangirling over moments of that happened inside the Matrix in the very first Matrix movie. I felt like at that time, that was actually us as YouTubers, someone that looks at other people's stuff and fanboys or fangirls over those things. And I was actually dialed into that. I actually liked those little moments. And of course, they changed a few things within the opening scene where Trinity doing her skills and stuff like that. So I thought that was really good. But, you know, I thought that... But yeah, that's what I had thought.
I mean, I thought the intro was pretty cool because we're getting like what we think is going to be it's kind of like the original, and then you see the projection in the background, and you see Bugs and the person in control of the Matrix, and it's like really cool because we're doing new technology, so portals, him being there with you, like all that kinds of stuff, and then you see the opening sequence, and it's Trinity, but it's not really her. So, and then you're seeing how it all kind of is playing out, like it's like a homage to the original. And then you see, yeah, something's going on here. Essentially it's a glitch. It's a glitch in the Matrix. So what we're seeing happened, but it's done differently in a sense. So it's kind of like it's trying to play on, like they're trying to get the fans of the original trilogy hooked in. And it's also it's for a new generation. So this is why it's kind of like a sequel and kind of like a reboot in a sense. And I love the opening. I thought it was cool. I mean, like when we get introduced to the new characters, which I think was really cool. And you see Morpheus, he's an agent, but he's not really an agent. So he's kind of like it's a lot of coding. So there's a lot of code terms in this one. So it's a little bit techie. But I liked how they did everything in this, to be honest. I'm not cold hearted on this movie.
Well, I'm gonna be a little bit cold hearted on this one.
I know.
Unfortunately, this is where we're a little bit divided. You and I are very divided with this one.
Oh yeah.
In a sense. But this is what I have to say though. Is this the opening scene has me hooked. That was the positive. It was good seeing Neo back. It was good seeing Keanu Reeves back reprising his role as Neo. It was good to see Trinity back. It was good to see all the OGs, basically, of the Matrix. But it was good to see Neil Patrick Harris in this film. I thought he did a really good job as a psychiatrist that's trying to keep him glued in to the Matrix and making him take the pills, which also signifies opioids and stuff like that, too. With the opioid addictions and things like that and psychiatry and things. That's what I got out of that. But keeping him within the Matrix itself, you're wondering why is he in the Matrix? Why is he keeping him there? And how did he come back? That was the mystery element because they didn't even tell us how Neo was able to come back or anything like that. We just automatically assumed that he's just back without any rationale or anything like that. But when they go into it, I like that aspect, but we'll talk to that about that in a few minutes. But, you know, I like the fact that, you know, you have him taking these pills, keeping him glued into the Matrix, and then he's even exercising next to Morpheus, because Morpheus is basically his guardian angel kind of thing, basically just watching over Neo and stuff like that. So I definitely like that aspect. And some people were like, well, I just don't get it. Why isn't him and Morpheus actually interacting with each other? Number one, it's because of the blue pills, I believe. and he doesn't remember Morpheus or anything like that because of the fact that he keeps taking the blue pills, which also makes him feel kind of wooden. That's also why, too, the Kung Fu at that time probably wasn't that great at the start of it, was because of the fact that he was still under those pills and taking him a while to adjust without taking them. But I like the aspect. I like the psychological aspect of it. I thought Neil Patrick Harris was really good as a psychiatrist. I also like the White Rabbit soundtrack that they used in the trailer. And of course, also foreshadowing the blue pills with his glasses that he's wearing to signify that he is part of within the Matrix itself. And he's also trying to keep him there. But what about you? What about that scene?
Well, I mean, just to go on this, that in general, like the reason he's not interacting with Morpheus, because Morpheus, well, this is 61 years after the events of the third movie. The real Morpheus, he's dead.
Right.
He's dead. And the Morpheus you're seeing in this one is like, Neo works for a video game company. He's using, like, because like, right when you first see the office, you're seeing snippets of what happened in the Matrix movie. Like, the iconic Trinity going backwards from the dual Uzis. He has one of those action figures. Neo's created a game, a very set of games called The Matrix, which is based on everything that, like, your snippets of his memory, and then these are successful games. Morpheus is, like, a code I think he put in, because you see Neo watching, like, seeing how he's got a glimpse of the original coding. I think he created Morpheus as a character, and yet also kind of, like, that's how he was, and Morpheus was able to be, like, being able to get unplugged from as an agent kind of a program. So it's a lot of agent stuff, like a lot of programming in it. So Neo is the one that kind of created the idea of this idea of Morpheus. And it makes sense that it's not Lawrence Fishburne, because Lawrence Fishburne's character was a real character. Morpheus isn't necessarily real. So that made sense to me. And I liked the actor that played him. I thought he was really good as the Morpheus in it. And the action sequences they had him in, and John's got all pissed off at me because I like that part. I don't care. I enjoyed this movie, but I loved him doing the action sequences, like him doing the flips, like in at Neo's office, which was kind of like a memory that kind of happened that kind of didn't. Him doing him walking like through with the dual pistols, like that was cool. Like the machine gun and the submachine gun and the pistol. Him walking through the hallways, that doing the cartwheel in the air, like. This stuff was cool. I thought this was an entertaining sequence for me. I mean, again, I thought he was great in it, and I thought it made sense of how this worked. Again, I mean, Neil Patrick Harris is the analyst. He was the new kind of creator of this version of the Matrix, and the not subtlety, but the constant emphasis of blue, 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 blue. His glasses, the frames were all blue. The kind of like the insides of his glasses were blue. A lot of stuff was blue in his office. There's a lot of emphasis on blue, trying to get you thinking this is reality. It's all about, is this real? Is this fake? And that constant thing of you trying to figure out, is this real? Is this fake? That was really cool. And like, again, that's the whole point of the Matrix is like, is it real? What is reality? What is fake? And this one seems so real. Like the game he played, give Tiffany, which is Trinity, which is really Trinity, but the name they gave her, Tiffany, and have her had kids. Again, I'm gonna let John bitch, and that's okay. I'm gonna let him bitch. Let him fuel this out, because I'm gonna tear down his argument in five goddamn minutes. But we'll get into.
Let me just tell you this: this is how on the nose this thing was for me. I was okay with them showing like an homage to the original Matrix movie, them being inside the office of Mr. Anderson, which is Neo. I was okay with that because of the fact I thought it was a nice little tip of the hat type of thing. Then you get into this whole entire thing that he's a video game developer making a Matrix. Guess who's actually part of the development team? Warner Brothers. Guess who? What the name of the Matrix movie is? And this is what I was thinking and everything. Be quiet, Charlie. This is what I was thinking the whole time. Whenever I saw this, oh, it's Matrix 4. Guess what? Next thing you know it, guess what? They say it's Matrix 4. I'm like, no, this is so stupid. I understand what they're going for, that they're trying to keep it more of an updated kind of version with the video games, keeping it well within that. To me, you could have actually done this movie without the video game aspect to it. You didn't have to go that extra mile and make everything look like a stupid video game, for crying out loud. I get the fact that everything's supposed to look fake and everything else and stuff, things like that, because it's a video game, which I didn't care about the environment or anything like that. I thought the environment stuff was actually fine, because you're trying to fit in a video game aspect into this movie, even though it didn't need to be in this movie in the first place. All you had to do was do one simple thing. Have the machines resurrect Neo and Trinity, which they did, and rebuild them, which they did. Then get rid of the video game aspect of it. It's just somebody else who made the Matrix and made it the way it is without having the video game aspect of it. And have Neil Patrick Harris as the main antagonist who's keeping him there without the video game aspect to it. The video game aspect of it is stupid. It's too much on the nose. Also, too, having the executive there pretending to be Warner Brothers and saying, oh, we're going to make this game whether you're going to do it or not, which also feels like to me that one of the Wachowski sisters was actually feeling pressure from Warner Brothers to do this film. And guess what? There was actually a news report that winded up saying that. So, yeah, I do not like this. I do not like this scene. I thought this scene was stupid. I didn't think that there was any need to have this freaking scene in here. So, yeah, I don't like this movie. Yeah, I don't like this scene. Deal with it.
Okay, like I said, I'm going to tear your... Like, you watch this movie from your phone.
A crappy movie is a crappy movie, no matter which the size of the diagram.
The phone... Ooh, look, I got a phone right here. It's not big enough to watch a good movie.
I don't care. I still saw the environmental stuff. I was fine with the environment.
I mean, it's not... It's this, like, the video game aspect had nothing to do with just the overall theme of the movie. Because Neo worked in the very first Matrix. He worked in, like, not a video game company, but he worked in, like, that kind of field. So, and he was just a programmer. That's what coding is. Coding's part of video games. There's a lot of coding in that. And then in this one, he's the head leader. And the Jonathan Groff character, he wasn't the exec. It was the higher ups that were telling him to do this. I'm just trying to like throw John's argument back at him.
Sorry.
The video game aspect of it. I did not like the video game aspect of it. It did not make any sense to have the video game aspect into it. I think that they should have done away with the video game aspect of it. I don't care if I watch this movie on my cell phone. A crappy movie is a crappy movie, no matter which way you look at it. Dang, and everything. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I'm watching it on my 45-inch flat screen TV right behind me. I do not care. This movie is stupid to actually have a video game aspect to the movie when it's not needed.
Well, go on, Samiki. I'll do my thoughts in a sec.
Jeez. Okay. Yeah. I just entered the Matrix, so I was seeing that you don't like the movie. I thought it was a good movie. It wasn't the best movie out of the Matrix franchise, but I thought the video game aspect was clever. And I guess it didn't really have a plot in a sense, but the way I see it is this new architect, this is mostly like an ego trip for him. He wants to beat the previous architect and show him I can build a better Matrix.
Better than Colonel Sanders from the last movie.
Yeah, better than Colonel Sanders. So he plays on human emotions. So it's all psychological to him, this new Matrix. And the previous architect, it was logic and facts or whatever. So that's how I saw it with this, the old architect and the new architect. Just the reason he brought, Neo back is he was an anomaly, and that fascinated him, and he wanted to bring Neo back, like, oh, I can build a better Matrix with Neo in it, but I need Trinity in order to have Neo in it. For some reason, the two can't exist without the other in whatever Matrix or universe they're in. So I thought some parts of it was clever, with the video game aspect, just turning his life into a video gamer, but not having Lawrence Fishburne in it as Morpheus was not. I didn't like that aspect, and I still don't have a good, there still isn't a good reason why the Wachowski sister Lily didn't put him in the Matrix movie that I know of. I've just been trying to find a reason.
I think I kind of like that idea because, again, I think the time frame, 61 years.
Yeah.
Between the events of the third one. And yeah, no, and Niobe survived because, I mean, she was kind of more the, let's stand back and not that, and Morpheus be like, no, we need to fight this head on. I think that was going to get Morpheus killed at some point. So I think, again, 61 years, it kind of makes sense. And I like the idea because, again, it's a whole, the whole idea of the video game. I thought it was clever, like, about Neo just being, like, the constant, like, annoyance of, like, him taking the blue pills and having to listen to the guys. Oh, what was so great about the Matrix? I thought that was that was kind of funny about the idiots that think they know the Matrix, but they're not, like, oh, bullet time, yeah, like, all that. I thought that was kind of funny, but sorry, John, I got to quote the Great Trinity here, and I got to repeat that.
Okay.
And like I'm going to be using some of the quotes from the second one right before she jacks into the Matrix. She goes, okay. I will not stand here and do nothing. I will not stand here. I will not sit here and do nothing. I will not wait here to watch you ruin this movie. Yeah. In 5 minutes, I'm tearing your whole goddamn argument down.
I don't care. You can tear it down all you want.
Yeah, that's fine. Still gonna believe what
I
believe.
I mean, hey. You have your beliefs on what the Matrix should be. I have my own architecture feel of what I think this should be. This is
what you expected worked. Some of what you expected happened in this movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not the whole movie. It's the video game portion. It was maybe a good 10, 15, maybe 30.
I'll get into my other stuff that I'm going to bitch about.
Oh, no. Okay. Oh, don't worry. I'm expecting the bitching. Like the Neo.
I have some other stuff.
Come at me. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, let's do it.
I still know.
My glasses on.
Yeah, but so go on, John. Continue.
Before you came on, this is what I said. I feel like this. They could have still had Neo and Trinity in there without having the video game aspect into this thing. Just to keep them apart because they're dangerous together. You can still have Neo taking the blue pills with Neil Patrick Harris as the main antagonist, which I would have been fine with without the video game aspect to it. And then, you know, they're not allowed to see each other because of the fact that they have this chemical imbalance to where, you know, basically they're stronger together because they're in love. And so that's all you needed. You didn't need to have that if that's all you need. And then you can have them stuck there. You can have Trinity and him don't meet up or anything like that. They meet up a little bit. They have a glimpse at each other. You know, that's all you need. You don't need. And then there's that coffee thing. Here's another thing I didn't like. The coffee shop scene. With Trinity and Keanu. I make bikes. No, Keanu, I love you to death, dude. I love you to death. But you did not have to advertise the fact that you actually make bikes for a living outside of your career. You did not have to do that.
Now it's Trinity.
No, he actually does make bikes in the real life. He really does have his own bike business.
Keanu does in real life. He never said that in the movie. It was Trinity that was the bike enthusiast. Well, Keanu Neo never said that because Neo is a video game developer. It was Trinity that has a fascination with bikes, and that's who Trinity's character was. She loved, and especially the Ducatis. She mentioned that specifically. Neo never said that.
It's still a tip of the hat to his business.
I will mention that was weird to have her as a soccer mom who's a bike enthusiast.
And then she's working at that warehouse. Like, I know the dude was a ball bag, but did she really have to work at the warehouse? Hey, kids, look, your mom has to go to work, and pretty much I'm going to be babysitting y'all, but it's going to be okay because she's going to be making some motorcycles for us, okay, at this warehouse that really looks like a shack and everything, and not really underground. I mean, come on.
Okay. I mean, to go on Neo's point, what profession did you want to have Neo at? This one made sense because, again, I mentioned in his first movie, he worked at a programming company. I think it made the storyline made sense because he's basing the game off of the, and again, the video game aspect is not the whole movie. It's only a small snippet of the movie. It's like a subplot. It's not the main plot. The main plot is Neo is alive. He's like, they're like, his analyst is forcing him to take blue pills to make him stay in the reality that they're in. Because you can't really You can't, like, what, like, what you were gonna have? Oh, Neo, he's a karate master.
No,
that's not gonna work.
No, that's not what I wanted.
It fits what he was a programmer. That's where he is.
And that would have been work.
It works for this storyline. It worked. I don't know what you're. I don't want you're.
John, what do you want? You're reading too much into the movie.
Like, you're like, again, that's what I'm glad I'm
Ryan Gosling from the Notebook. What I want is this.
Tell me what you want.
What do you want? What do you want?
Look, all they had to do was one simple thing. One simple thing. Keep him in the freaking Matrix. You don't have to have him working a job. A 9-to-5 job, being a video game developer. He's there for a reason, to see the psychiatrist, to keep him in the freaking psychiatrist's office, and to keep him in within this world. Is he going to go to depression? Maybe. Is he going to go through different trials? Maybe. That's all you had to do. You didn't have to go ahead and go that extra mile. Oh, he's a video game developer. Guess what we're going to call it? The Matrix 4. No, you didn't have to go there that extra mile. You didn't have to have WB. Oh, we're going to make this whether or not. Anyways, let's go to the next scene.
John, you're trying to make sense of a madman. This architect has no reason or logic. He's just a man and likes to see the world burn.
And that's okay. That's what I wanted to see.
He thought it would be funny if Neo was a game designer. He's like, oh, I'm going to make him a balding game designer, and then I'm going to make Agent Smith some hipster that likes goat milk in his cappuccino. Like, he just was poking fun at them and at everything, because he thought, oh, I'm the greatest architect, so I know what I'm doing. My Matrix is 10 times better. So you're trying to make sense out of a madman.
I mean,
I am a madman. We're trying to make sense out of a madman.
He had no reason. He just, to me, it was like an ego trip. He's like, I want to build a better Matrix, and I'm just gonna make fun of the previous Matrix and everybody else.
I mean, that's why I thought Neil Patrick Harris was
John fantastic. What his least favorite scene was. It's all the movie.
It's the whole movie. It's the whole movie.
No, I'm going to get into some of my other aspects that I did like.
And I told you, John, earlier on, and I quote, this movie is my Space Jam 2, which means you're telling me that Space Jam 2 is better than this movie.
No,
which
I'm just saying that it was wrong. Oh, but Brandy was asking the both of y'all, though, too. What was your least favorite part?
I guess one of my least favorites was when Trinity and Neo came back into the coffee house and they're surrounded by the SWAT members. I thought that conversation was a little bit odd because she was just saying, I guess I'm just making logic out of it, like John, because she just came in randomly and she was like, oh, I saw this video gamer named Trinity and I thought I looked like her, but my husband said I don't. And then I like motorcycles too. And it was like all this weird, I don't know, that conversation was kind of off.
What, like the conversation towards the end? Because I think the conversation to the end, she didn't really, I think it was more the first conversation in the coffee shop where they're discussing, I played your game, and I don't really look like her. That was the very first one. The second time, he knew exactly what was going to happen, because that was the memories. And the second conversation was like, is when they're surrounded by a SWAT team. That was when I knew it was like, that was probably one of my favorite, like the last 45 minutes of this movie was my favorite of this movie. Well, because it was the huge, the actions, the big epic finale action sequence, which that was the really when like them saving Trinity. That was the sequence for me. It was like, okay, now, all right. And John's looking at me like he's about to like rip me that. And I'm like, that's probably one of his many least favorite moments. And I don't care. Like, I like this. I love the last 45 minutes. It was awesome because it was them getting the two of them back. And, but I can't really figure out maybe the openings, like the main sequence of Christina Ricci. As the I'm talking about, like she was the one that provided the ideas briefly when like they're maybe like that small portion, But it didn't bother me too much. Like I said, I didn't feel bored at all during this movie. Like, for a 2.5-hour movie, for me to not be bored, you must be doing something right, because I was entertained throughout. And so I don't necessarily don't have a least favorite scene. And then again, I love Neil Patrick Harris in this. I thought he was fantastic. He was perfect for the analyst.
Oh, great.
And I like Jonathan Groff, I thought, as the nemesis to him. I thought he was a good adversary, in a sense, to Neo. And I'm interested if they progress, because I know I saw an article that Warner Brothers is going to do a fifth one. That's what they're interested in doing, a fifth one.
I heard it was canceled, though.
I didn't hear that at all.
Wow, you got it canceled, John.
No. But I heard they weren't going to do it, though.
I think as of December 27th, that they were going to do it. And you might think, like, oh, it hasn't made that much money. Well, it comes out, it has, like, this is the one thing that sets it apart from, like, the Spider-Mans. This movie got a China release date. Spider-Man didn't get a China release date. It's coming out next week in China. So I think I think with the popularity of Keanu, I think it's going to do well internationally. It's not doing so hot right now, but I think it's because not many movies this year gotten that release date in China. I think No Time to Die, and I think another movie, I can't think of it. I know No Time to Die got released overseas in China, and this movie will. So that says something, that they can do it. And LeBron James can't even get – LeBron James has trouble getting his movie in China because China hates the NBA. But,
oh, dang.
But this is another thing I want to mention.
Oh, boy.
And here's the thing. I love seeing the Kung Fu sequence again and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Then I thought that the Goku Dragon Ball Z thing that they did was actually pretty cool. But when they keep doing it over and over again with Neo and Trinity, it's like having a 5-year-old that's spamming your favorite move over and over again. It becomes annoying. Then, also, too, Neo stopping bullets. We know that he stops bullets because we saw Matrix Reloaded. Then he's stopping bullets. Then he's stopping bullets again. Then he's shielding the people from... Then after that, he's catching people falling out of windows so they don't fall down and bust because of the fact they're part of the coding, which actually does make sense. But anyways, he's going to do this, and then he's going to do that. Then he's going to do this. And it's the same move over and over again. It's like a 5-year-old playing your favorite video game in a fighting video game, and he's just spamming you with the same moves over and over again. And it became annoying. I'm like, can you do something else besides shielding Trinity from people falling out of windows? Can you do something more besides stopping bullets? We get it. You can catch bullets. Congratulations, Neo. Give yourself a cookie. We saw this in the second and third one. Okay? I wanted to see something new with his powers and stuff like that, instead of the same repetitive stuff that we got from the first time. Then, I do like the warehouse scene with the fight scenes with that. I did like that part. I also like seeing the French guy back again. He doesn't have sex dessert this time. But this time it was actually, I have to say, I like the fight sequences with that scene. I thought that was layered out a lot better. But as far as the Dragon Ball Goku thing that they did, and then the stopping the bullets over and over again, nah. That got on my nerves. And then not to mention the Peter Pan thing at the end. Let's just jump off the building and see if we can make it, because nobody else did in the first one, so let's try it out over here. So they jump off the building. All of a sudden, I'm like, Trinity's going to fly. This is me on the couch. I'm like, Trinity's going to fly. And she flew. I'm like, that, yep. And Brandy's over there like, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. She flew.
I didn't see anything wrong with that. I thought that was cool. What? Now, I think I figured you'd be bitching more if Neo flew. Because you're like, oh, you got to do the same 5-year-old move. Neo flies. No, because, like, you got to start out slow.
Neo's
gaining his powers back. What do you expect Neo to pull out a gun and start shooting? That's not what his character is anymore. That's John Wick. If Trinity had gotten, like, on fire or shot, movie was over and it would be pointless, and you'd be bitching about the ending on that one too. You'd be saying, they killed Trinity again. No, oh, I hate this movie. Damn.
To be like, honest with you, I don't care whether they lived or died.
I mean,
John,
where did Keanu touch you? Like, yeah, seriously.
I'd rather see Keanu Reeves and John Wick and suffering through another 2.5-hour and 30-minute movie of The Matrix.
What?
The Wachowskis are one-hit pony shows that had more misses than hits. Look at Speed Racer. Look at Speed Racer. Then look at Jupiter Ascending. Then look at some of the other movies. V for Vendetta and the Matrix movies were the best ones that they had out.
You say, come at me. Come at me, bros.
I mean, yeah, pretty much. That seems like that. I'm like, okay, you can't really be bros. They're not bros anymore. We got to be meta. So,
Sorry. Whoops.
Come at me, girls. Whatever. I don't know, but it's like, he's on a motorcycle. What else did you need Neo to do?
I just thought throughout the movie, Matrix movies, the two formed one. It could be argued that the two formed one superpower, and that in this new Matrix movie, that power was developing into one, like one entity.
I mean, they're better together than they are apart, and that was the whole point of the analyst, which was a smart idea. Keep them close enough to give them hope, but not too close, you know that. And I thought how they brought them back, I was like, oh, this makes sense. And they didn't get rid of his eyes, and that's what I really appreciated in this one. Neo can see both in the Matrix and not in the Matrix, in the real world, and like that. That was really well done, and that's why this one was a huge, like, 100% better than the third one. And I think for me, just the story made sense, and to get the two important characters, and it was like essentially this movie, to quote Deadpool, this is not a murder. This is a love story. And that's what it was. That it is, because it's Neo and Trinity. Like, those were the two characters I liked the most. And I'm not the only one that I like those two the most, because they're memorable. I'm sorry, Morpheus. You just didn't find the right rabbit hole. Like, I mean, I think for me, like, Morpheus is okay, but he kept getting his ass kicked.
No, I want people to get their ass
kicked instead of getting their ass kicked. I that's why I like that they didn't that. I mean, and I said earlier on before you joined, Tamika, that I like the actor that portrayed the new one.
No.
I thought the action sequences that he did were pretty cool. I loved Bugs. I thought Bugs was great.
Yeah, she was.
And I liked the idea of portals, about them going through portals. I thought that was really cool. Like, and then like, just a lot of comment throwback at the first one. What? We don't have do you expect us to still be using telephone booths? Like, I thought that was a nice little shade. And then I loved the swarm idea, when everybody can turn into like instant enemies instantly. So it's like, so we don't need the constant repeat of the agents, all Mr. 100 Mr. Smiths. We don't need that. Anybody can be an enemy. Anybody can be a killer in one single click or a swarm. Like, what the swarm sequences, like the Tokyo and the train sequence, I thought that was awesome. I didn't see too much of the shaky cam. Then again, I wasn't really paying attention. I was paying attention because I was actually enjoying myself with this, having a good time. And it cost me anything because I'm part of the Regal Unlimited program, so it didn't cost me anything to see this movie. So it was 2.5 hours of me enjoying myself and having a good time watching this movie in the theaters. Seeing it visually, and John licking his lips again, like he's about to come at me, but I can just already, like, we know, John, you hate this movie. We get it.
Yeah, John, jeez.
All right, that's enough for me.
I want to go on and ask Tamika, what were some of the other things she liked? Because I've been ranting.
I get it, John. You don't want to hear me anymore. I got it.
Let me get into this Morpheus thing. No, I like that Morpheus was there, because on the posters we see is Neo, is Trinity, and is Morpheus, and technically they make up the Trinity of the not to get onto Trinity's name, but to me they make up the Trinity of the Matrix, and you got Morpheus now being a servant, shucking and jiving, telling us, hey, what's up? Hey, I'm going to the bar. And I'm like, what kind of Morpheus is this? I do not like this. No, I want my calm, cool, collected Morpheus. And I felt like throughout this movie, there was just poking fun or making fun at Morpheus. You know, like he's an old fool and he doesn't know anything. Maybe that's true, but I don't want to see that in Morpheus. I don't want this guy coming in here shucking and jiving, throwing his martini around. Hey, I'm Morpheus. Whoa. Da, 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 da. He was just a servant. Okay. Morpheus is a leader. He may be a little bit misguided, but he is a leader nonetheless. And I thought Lawrence Fishburne should have been in this movie. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, I think it's a different version of Morpheus. Again,
I don't like it.
I thought it was okay. It made sense, especially when they find out Morpheus, the real Morpheus, died. John, you can stop shaking your head at me. Let me get this point out, and then you can continue bitching. Sorry. I'm sorry, John. I'm not going to let you have this one. Ooh. Like, I'm sorry. You're not going to try to ruin this experience for me. Like, you tried to force me not to see this in theaters. You literally tried to tell me, why are you seeing this in theaters? You're trying to tell me, like I got to quote the Oracle. You should well know now, well enough to make up your own damn mind. Like I said, I mean, I got to quote the Oracle on that one. I know you tried, but I'm sorry. You're not shutting me down like the Neil Patrick Harris tried to do to Neo and Trinity. Like, you're not shutting me down.
Dang.
I'm sorry. Truth hurts. But yeah, I thought it fit. It was a different Morpheus. It's not the real Morpheus. Like, he even admitted, I'm not like that. He was just showing it. Like, it was like a lot of homages. And it's just like nostalgia. And I thought that was like the various snippets throughout the whole movie, the nostalgia of the old movies. Not, well, I'm off the Morpheus part. I just like the clips that they showed throughout. Just to kind of like remember everybody what really happened in a sense. I thought that was fitting. I love the action sequences in this. And I love the last 45 minutes. Again, Neo doing the one move. That's fine because these people don't go down easily with bullets. What? Like, you like that? I mean, yeah, okay. Yeah, but everybody else was able to pull him down. That's fine. This is not this Neo. And even, hey, Neo, can you fly? I thought that was funny. Nope, that's not working. And him try to fly and him go right through the ground. And I like that they did it with Trinity. Trinity's the one that's got more of the powers because she seemed to be like the one human that was with Neo the whole time, and she really didn't really get to be able to do much. Again, the whole third movie, they pretty much like put them on the back, backlog. And like, oh yeah, Neo and Trinity are out there. I like that they gave her that, like gave her some more of the powers. But the line I love the most, which really got me hyped for this, made me enjoy this movie, is when Trinity's getting like pulled when the analyst is about to kill Neo, and Trinity looks back, and then the fake husband, oh, John just disappeared in the glitch. Oh. when the fake husband was pulling on Tiffany.
Oh yeah.
And when she turns around, let's see what he said. He goes, "Be right back." Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's when he's pulling on her arm. And he goes, like, she goes, will you stop fucking calling me that? I hate that name. My name is Trinity. And I love that moment when she did that. It was like, oh, hell yeah. She's back. And she goes, my name is Trinity. And he's like, you better get your goddamn hands off me. And then she does the iconic kick when, like, the kind of like the, like, backflip kick whatever. Yeah. And when she did that kick to him, I thought that was, I was like, all right, yeah, Trinity's back. She's badass. Like, I love that moment when she that. But then again, I like the whole idea of the little girl from the third movie. She was annoying in the third movie. She wasn't annoying now because it just brought the whole idea about her father is the one that like worked in the machine area that brought Neo and Trinity back. And I thought that was like kind of like filling in some gaps from the third movie about what really happened. And again, how they brought him back, I thought it worked. I thought it was cool, and it made sense how they brought him back. And like the fact that you had to keep the two of them apart, because when the two of them are at, they're like God mode, because they're like they're like the power couple. Like they can rival any other power couple. I'm sorry, those two would kick Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling's ass from The Notebook.
Oh, for sure.
Don't even go there. Mm-hmm. those two didn't have chemistry at all. Like a tree in the sap and the maple syrup have more chemistry than Rachel McAdams and Ryan Gosling.
Damn.
I'm sorry. Neo and Trinity would kick those two as ass because it wasn't toxic. They knew, like, they true love. And if the two of them had walked up to you in a bar and they're going to give you a mission, you immediately say yes, because why would you want to turn down these two? Because you know you're going to about to kick some ass. And those two are the it couple. And like, and again, like being able to get the, brought the, bring them back and the mission to fix her. Like I thought that was really cool about the tech, about how like you can't really unplug somebody when they're still jacked into the Matrix, when they're not unplugged yet. Yeah. I love that all aspect to it.
Yeah, that was a really complex mission that they had. Because, I mean, I guess until you further explain it, I got kind of lost on what the Oracle's reasoning was with getting involved in this in the first place.
And it wasn't really the Oracle, it was Sati. I think that was the little girl. It was Sati.
Oh, yeah. So they like,
your name is Nam.
They weren't hinting that she was the next Oracle?
Yeah, I think they were hinting that, but I don't think there really was an Oracle. I mean, like, Niobe isn't an Oracle.
Right. I didn't see anything about her being, like, an Oracle or anything like that. That's what I was assuming and everything, because of the fact that I felt like there was going to be another Oracle that took her place. But that was just me speculating from the third film.
Now, I did see a video that said that there was a... they missed the mark on one of the scenes where Niobe was saying that the machines were fighting each other, that they could have delved deeper into that aspect. So I don't know. I guess that concept would have been interesting, but maybe it would have been too much Terminator. The reason why they didn't go into it fully.
And then if this movie was 30 minutes longer, John would be complaining. It's a 3-hour movie. And we didn't need to get more into this. Like, just wrap it up. Let's go. Like, if it's longer, you want to complain more.
Okay, so there's something else that really bothered me with this film. Okay, number one, they could have gotten Hugo Weaving to play that role.
Yes.
Because I felt like that was what was missing. Don't get me wrong. I thought the guy was a great actor. I understand the fact they're using new technology to actually get the agents to disguise themselves and everything. I thought that made sense. I'm not crapping on that. I'm not crapping on the guy's performance or anything like that. I think he's a great thing. I thought that the performance was really good, to be honest with you. When he was able to do his own thing rather than doing an impression of Hugo Weaving, He was good. To me, if you're going to do the character, don't do an impression of Hugo Weaving. Let the character be your own. And that was like the only little small thing I complain about is the fact that I feel like he was doing a Hugo Weaving impression rather than letting the character be his own. In certain aspects, he does do it, but in certain aspects, he doesn't. But I understand why that they went with a different actor, but I just feel like Hugo Weaving was the most menacing, the most dangerous character within the Matrix. But I also like the fact that there's history with Neo and Smith. I thought that that was always a great thing within the Matrix itself. And then also too, seeing Smith change is like, look, I'm in this Matrix and everything too now. I'm actually free from my own thing now. So therefore I can make my own choices within this world. So I like that whole entire thing. It's like, I'm not going to go after you anymore. I made my peace with you. You stopped me 3 times. I'm done. And I'm going to go my way. You go your way. We don't meet in between. And I'm going to take care of the psychiatrist. And I like that whole entire balance. And then, of course, that whole entire scene in the bar, I like that with the deja vu, with the cat and things like that. I thought that worked out good. And also, too, Trinity turning around. Do not call me Tiffany.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you see the explosion. I thought that was good. I thought that was played out good. Now, the thing that I didn't like was this. It's Niobe. It's been 30 years since we've seen her. Yes, she's aged a lot, quite a lot. And the one of the things that I didn't like was the fact that they're bringing strawberries into her world using the coding to bring strawberries into a world when they don't believe in the fact that bringing other stuff from the Matrix into their world because of the fact the Matrix is supposed to be fake. So it contradicts the beliefs of what we knew from the very first movie. Even though it's a different place, you still don't believe in what they're doing within the Matrix world. So why are you going to eat from what you don't believe in? It's like eating from the tree of knowledge. You know it's bad for you, but you're still going to eat it. She's doing the same. Basically, they're contradicting the rules of how it's played out within the first rules of the very first Matrix movie. That's what I got from it. But I just didn't like the coding, putting the strawberries in there, her eating it, and then doing it that way. And even though they explained it, it didn't work for me. That didn't work for me. The parts with Neo bringing them back and everything, I like that. I like the whole entire aspect of them bringing them back the way that they brought them back. Now, the other thing, though, with the machines, I wanted to see a Civil War-paced thing where you have the machines fighting against each other and stuff like that because of the fact that they're trying to pick a side. And I wanted to know what made them turn, what made them think the way that they thought, in a sense. I wanted to see that, and they didn't play that out. It would have been cool to see it, but they talked about it instead. But that's just me on how I thought about that. What about you guys?
I will admit, that is kind of interesting what you just said about Niobe. It's like she's in a matrix within herself. You know, she's moving away from the real. She's moving outside of the matrix, and she's just formulating like juicy strawberries and berries. Like, okay, I give you that. I think that's a character flaw within herself, though. I think that's interesting that they put it in there. It could be lots of arguments into why Niobe thinks that she's getting away from Zion and his old ways, and she mentioned that they were in a matrix within themselves, but she's right back where she is as well. She's formulating a matrix too. So you can't argue that maybe their minds aren't really free as they think there is. There's some part of comfort that they want, because I'm assuming outside of the matrix, there is not comfortable. It's real and it's war. So I guess you can kind of, I don't know if Lily or the other writers or directors wrote that in to have us argue about that, but that is a good point. But I just think it's the character flaw of herself.
Then again, we never really found out what her real motives were in the last two movies, like in Niobe, so we don't really know. She could be believing all this. Like, again, like the idea of the sudden change is, again, 61 years, that's a lot of time, and technology changes. Because Zion was like always so on the like that, but I think they need to kind of work together. They kind of like picked up because they were never going to continue surviving the way they did in the last three movies. So of course they had to change their idea. And I thought it was kind of cool because all the time they'd be eating the same food, like every single, that gloop that cannot like keep the, that cannot keep you healthy for all these years. Like it just can't, like for again, 61 years, that stuff, same stuff. They had to change, and that's why they had to work with the machine. So I think it made sense. And then again, we don't really know the true motive of Niobe, because I mean, Morpheus believed in that stuff, and it got him killed. It literally got him killed, and that's why, like, I mean, and that's why, yeah, she just fought that way, because I think she's trying to change it, change the way they fought. Because it worked for a while, and there was peace, and Neo brought them peace. And I think that's why the machines weren't fighting with the humans, and I think that, and maybe some of the parts of the machines as well, because Neo brought them peace. But until then the analyst came along and then kind of changed that up. But again, I don't know. I don't think really knew, because again, Niobe was not really a main character, and she was not a main character in this one as well. Which is fitting. She's a supporting role. Could they have done better with her? Sure. But it didn't piss me off to the point that I wanted to throw something at the screen. No, like, it didn't piss me off. Like, it's like, it that. again, I was just watching this to see, okay, because it wasn't very long there on the news Ion. They took off the Z. They took off the Z. So it's this Ion or On or whatever it was called. It's fine. It just moved the plot along. And to get to the point of Neo trying to get back to Trinity. And again, and that was the whole point. Again, it was just really cool to see the visuals, though. I thought the visuals were really well done, especially in the machine world. How everything looked, I thought it looked really cool. I thought it really did. And again, because the technology's changed and them working with the machines, I thought that was really cool. Like that one machine that they were like, that Bugs and was riding on to get to the Trinity. Yeah. That was cool. That was a cool thing. Mm-hmm. And then to have the little girl involved grow up, I thought that was really fitting too. It kind of tied up a lot of loose ends. And she didn't call him Neo, which I really appreciate it. Like she said it properly, Neo. And again, is this movie the number one movie of the year for me? No, it's not. It's going to be in my top 10. It's not. I might have it higher than Spider-Man. That's me, because I enjoyed this movie more than.
Ooh, Kiki.
Yeah, I enjoyed this movie more than Spider-Man. Come at me. It's fine. What? I just didn't. It was good. It was good. It was a good movie. Did I come out of it entertained? Yeah. But I just came out feeling disappointed after out of Spider-Man a little bit. Oh. I came out feeling this one, I didn't feel disappointed at all. Sure. I liked this. And then immediately when I got home, I put it on HBO Max and I watched the last 45 minutes because that swarm sequence at the end, that was cool. Because this shows you the different types of the Matrix and how it's changing. I thought that was cool. And then when they become suicide bombers, about the coding, that was cool too. Because we haven't seen any of this in the last three movies. So they definitely changed it up. And John's about to bitch again, so I'm going to let him.
Uh-oh.
That's because it was stupid to have people falling out of windows.
They're suicide bombers.
To use their bombs.
That's what it was. That's the whole point. Hence the term. What point of suicide didn't you understand? Like the quote Christopher Walken for Balls of Fury. What part of suicide didn't you understand? Like that's the whole point of it, because they're in a lockdown protocol. Like they're shutting it down. So and that's what the whole point of this. And I thought that was cool. That was entertaining. Right. Again, where did Keanu touch you, John? Seriously,
hey, I have no qualms with Keanu.
Seriously,
what did he do?
Okay,
him doing the force stuff. I thought that was cool, because if Neo got all the powers instantly right when that, this movie would have been like a 5-minute movie, boom, end the movie. Like you had to progress to the point to get him back.
It progressed the same powers that
The only thing I will say is I wanted Neo to do more fighting, like physical fighting with Smith. That's all. I just wanted that a little bit longer. More physical fighting. That's what I was saying.
Still a great fight scene though. And the fact that he still had the same powers, and I thought it kind of made sense that would I loved Hugo to be back in this? Yeah, absolutely. However, I think it made sense because if Hugo was in it, everybody's like, Smith's back again. Oh man.
Oh.
I thought since this is a new version of the Matrix, you need a new person. It's all kind of like it's a rebuild in a sense. And I thought I think if Hugo would have done it, sure, would have been cool. It was really cool. This is kind of a reboot. So in a sense, because they're rebooting the Matrix. And that's why they had to have the new guy in there. And I thought that it worked. Was he trying a little too hard to be Smith? Sure. Yeah, sure. You want me to nitpick? Sure. But I appreciated what they did, because he was like, it was not more of a remake. It was a homage. Because he's trying to channel it, because Hugo did such a great job and Smith is such an iconic villain. Like, you didn't want to make fun of him, and he wasn't making fun of him. He's kind of a pain of a homage. And that's honestly, like, that's probably the most complimentary thing you could say. The fact that you're doing a homage to him. Kind of what the guy Morpheus was trying to do to Morpheus. He's trying to do a homage to him, in a sense.
He wasn't. He failed.
And okay, that's fine.
That's like great value, Morpheus.
I like those odds. What the movie's trying to do, and like again, Neo having like the, I like that. I thought that cool. anytime he stopped the bullets, that was cool, because if Trinity dies, boom, end the movie. What was the point of what, like, him doing all this for? And what did you want Neo to do, John? Tell me, what else did you want him to do?
Here's the thing. When you get into a fourth movie, I'm expecting a little bit more powers than him doing the same shit that we got in the first three.
What powers movies. Did you want, John?
I don't know anything. Because remember, one of the Wachowskis. Because say remember, hold on. Okay, remember when Lana, because that's who directed this film and wrote this film, Lana said, this is going to be top of the line technology that we haven't seen before or anything like that. It looks like the same stuff that we got in the first three films to me. And then hold on. Okay, they no longer can hack into phone booths. Now they use mirrors. They could use a tablet instead of going through mirrors.
It's that's just me and my thinking. It's not because like everybody, the technology is different. And you can easily hack stuff. That's why they're playing on that idea. And that's why they're going for the portals. I thought it was cool because you don't see this before. You've never, again, technology's that. That changed it. The visuals of the machine world, everything was different looking. That was, we haven't seen that before. You can't go say what technology now. It did not look the same at all. Like the coding looked better. Like the coding looked this looked more crisp in a sense. Again, like what else did you want on this movie?
Another thing though too. The nostalgia. I like the nostalgia as long as it motivates the plot.
Okay. And it did.
And for the sake of the plot. But being slapped on top of my head over and over and over again with scenes from the movie, I get the fact that we're trying to go on ahead and get new fans into this franchise. I get that. I respect that. But it reminds me of going into a cutscene of a video game. And you're going over there and watching the same cutscenes that you've seen before because you lost the video game because you died. So now you have to suffer through that same cutscene that you went through. And it's hitting us upside the head over and over and over again with the nostalgia factor. And I get the fact that there is nostalgia within the Spider-Man universe and stuff like that. I haven't seen it yet. I'm supposed to go see it on Tuesday.
You better see it.
So I am going to be going to see it. But here's the thing. I guarantee you the nostalgia factor with Spider-Man is going to be there to motivate the plot. And it's just not there to be as a standstill and say, oh, do you remember what happened in this one? Oh, guess what? Neo decided to take the blue pill instead of the red pill. Mr. Anderson, Neo, you have two choices. Take the red pill or the blue pill. Then you also have another scene with Morpheus and another scene and then another scene with Hugo Weaving and stuff like that. I'm like, no, just let the movie be its own thing without having to go back and go back to like, remember when? No, let's move forward. Let's move forward with the plot and go with it. But that's just me on my line of thinking.
But I thought with the movie itself, it was making fun of us too, which I thought was pretty hilarious because there are people who are deep into the Matrix. But also it shows the lore of the Matrix, like Neo, who he was and how he connected, how everybody connected with him. It's like how we see like these Marvel characters, right? We see the superheroes. And within the movie, that's what I thought. It was showing how like us as society, how we are fascinated with our superheroes, how we're fascinated with, I don't know, like this Matrix universe. Because the guy, the annoying guy, I forgot his name, but he was, I don't know if he was working with Neo at the game company. I forgot his name. He was annoying. But he said that, you know, oh, I remember the Matrix. That video game ruined my life. I didn't pass the seventh grade or whatever he was talking about. So it just touched on this fan base, this fandom of the Matrix and the lore of the Matrix. Like, I thought that was pretty clever to tap into that. Like, after all these years, people and us, after all these years, we're still talking about the Matrix and we're still plugged into these characters. So in a sense, that was pretty clever. And the whole thing with Jeffrey Goff as imitating Smith. That was just him recalling the memories of some kind of breakdown in the Matrix to me. Like when he said oblivious, mm-hmm. and Neo was had recollections of, huh, that sounds familiar. I didn't yeah. think he was doing an imitation. I think it was just the character itself was coming into, oh, this is who I am. Wait, I'm Mr. Anderson. Because all their memories were wiped clean.
Yeah.
So it was just the character was coming into, oh, this is who I am. I look different, but I'm still Mr. Smith. Because mm-hmm. when he noticed the gun, that triggered him. And he was like, oh, wait, I'm Mr. Smith. Oh, that's Mr. Anderson. So that's what I thought, that it was written that way.
Yeah, I mean, and it's also, too, because it's been 18 years since these movies have been out. Not many people have done the recaps like we did. And that's why I appreciated them putting the clips in there, is to help. And we're like Neo. We forgot. We forgot everything that happened in it. So these clips were kind of, they moved the plot along, because we're like Neo. We're trying to remember what exactly happened, because Neo's mind's completely like wiped out by the blue pills. So the constant, the idea of memory, repressed memories, and that's what Bugs and Morpheus said. That's what they tried to, when they walked in and the portal, you see the kind of like the iconic sequence from the very first movie. They're trying to get Neo to remember himself, because they're trying to get him to like repress those blue pill stuff to get him to think about what really happened. And that's what the point of those, like, they moved the plot along. That's the whole point of the clips. They weren't there for the sake of being there. They moved the plot along. And that's what I really appreciate, because again, binging three movies, that's a lot of stuff to remember. So by having some of those clips implemented in throughout the movie, you were able to remember a lot of stuff here. And it wasn't nostalgia for the sake of being nostalgia. It moved the plot along. And that, for that, I appreciate it. Because we're kind of like Neo. We forgot a lot of stuff. We kind of wanted to be able to remember like him, so we can be on Neo's side. And that's essentially what they did. And would I like to have more action sequences? Yeah, absolutely, because that's what the whole point of Matrix. But from the scenes that I got from it, I was satisfied with it. Like the last 45 minutes, yes. And then like the sequence where they deal with the exile programs, and you see the Merovingian, and then you see Neo's reaction, like, oh, god damn it. Like, I thought I got rid of that guy. When you see the Merovingian show up again, we kind of agreed with Neo. I'm like, that guy, like, I knew he was in it. I just thought it was clever how they did that, about how he was an exile program. So again, we kind of had the same reaction as Neo. I was like, oh, this guy. Mm-hmm. And then he runs off like the little wuss that he is. Like, would I have liked Neo to punch that guy? Absolutely. But Neo did that. And then again, maybe they didn't want to give Neo a lot of powers, because again, his character, when you see him in the mirror, he's an old guy. He's like an old guy. He does not look like what he did with his avatar. And then maybe they couldn't give him like an extra set of like skills or whatever, because I don't know. Like, but there's nothing else they could have given Neo. Like, and I really like they kind of transferred the power to Trinity, and I like her flying. I thought that was cool. And then the end sequence where her just being the shit out at Neil Patrick Harris and then summoning him back up. I thought that was funny when she like roundhouse kicked him and then slit his throat. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't violent. It made it seem, because it was like he's a program. So I thought that was really cool. Like, because in the other Matrix movies, you see the blood. You easily see the blood. This one, right, there's not much, but you see, because it blended in with the visuals. And that's why, because we hadn't seen this before. So that's why Solana was onto something. We were about to see something we haven't seen. Might not fit for you, John. It fit for us.
There's a lot of themes too, John. I know you don't like this movie, but there's a lot of themes of how we as a society are just overdosed on medication, and we're plugged into technology so much, or we work with technology. I don't know. It was AI concepts in it too. Like, can we and AI work together? That's what I thought the Ion or whatever was about. Can AI and humans work together?
Right. And you see, at the very start of this, I also said I figured that the psychiatry part worked for me because it goes back to the opioid stuff and things that. And to me, it's about keeping you glued in to being into the psychiatry office, because the psychiatrist gets paid whether you gets paid by the hour because you're there. So of course he wants you to keep coming back for your medication. So what better way to do that with Neo coming back into the psychiatrist's office, because he wants him there. He wants him in that office.
Yeah. And so, did you notice too, he was eating the steak. Do you remember that from Cypher?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that from Cypher, but yeah, I didn't notice.
Neo was eating the steak. I remember that, really plugged into the Matrix so much. And like Charlie was saying, all these events from the past movie or to jog his memory, because he's been plugged into the Matrix for so long, he doesn't even know who he is.
And the constant blue images, like the analyst's glasses, they were blue. A lot of stuff in his office was blue. So the emphasis on blue kept getting Neo like not thinking about everything else. And that's why like you need to see another color like green or red, Christmas colors in a sense, to get him to maybe think about something else. Because the constant repetition of blue, pills blue, everything in his office blue, the visuals blue, like everything was blue, to the point to get you to forget what happened, to repress your memories. Think that they're just your dreams. Keep coming back. Keep taking the blue pills. Keep sitting in the office or whatever, and like just staring at your blue computer. Like a lot of emphasis on blue, and that's why you needed all those clips to get you thinking again about like to thinking about free will in a sense.
Right. I can see that.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I want to mention, and it goes with feeling lukewarm about certain things. Like, for instance, when you see Neo being tugged from the Matrix world over into their real world with the mirror.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your brain is split in half, right? Because you don't know which road to go on. So one person's pulling you one way. Then you have another person pulling you the other way. Mm-hmm. You don't know which side to go on or anything. And so you have Neil Patrick Harris is trying to pull Neo one way. It's like, come here. This is the way that you need to go. And you need to stay here with us. And then you have your real friends, because Neil Patrick Harris is basically the fake. So you have your real friends that are trying to pull you in the right direction.
Yeah. And they had to shatter the mirror too.
Yeah. They had to shoot the mirror. They didn't pull him in. I didn't see anybody pulling him back in. They just shot the mirror. So there was side was Neil Patrick Harris pulling him into the one side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You're saying there's two sides pulling him, but there was no actual pulling on the other side. It was just they shot the mirror.
Well, because I was just seeing it differently.
Back. Yeah, they were trying to pull him back, or Buzz was trying to pull Neo back, but she wasn't strong enough. And then they had to shoot the mirror just to break the connection.
Could have been that. I don't know. I didn't really see that. I don't know. I didn't watch it from a phone.
Hey, this is why you needed to watch it from a phone. But no, either way it goes, watching
you're very limited. There's smaller dimensions on a phone. You don't get to experience the full.
I experienced the Matrix.
I know.
It's full capacity in 2 hours.
Yeah, we are in the Matrix.
And, you know, I just want to tell everybody, just because I have my problems with this film, doesn't mean that you shouldn't enjoy this film for what it is. You may feel like Charlie. You might be siding against me. That's okay. We're allowed to have differences of opinions and everything, because movies are subjective. Here's the thing. You might like certain aspects like Tamika does of this movie. You might like it as a whole. You may like certain things. But we're allowed to have discussions. We're allowed to think and tell you what we think, what we don't like, and stuff like that. But if you're going to go out and see this movie, go out and see it. Support it. And everything, because of the fact that you enjoyed something. And just because I didn't enjoy it as much as I want to does not, I don't have the right. And I'm sorry if I did this to you, Charlie. And everything.
Don't worry. Like the comment section, it definitely felt like I was attacked by I felt swarmed by many people that hated this movie. Forcing me. And essentially, I felt forced to me telling me not to see this movie in theaters. And that's when I came out with my comment saying, I've gone through a lot. I've waited a long time to see this movie. I went through a COVID-19 exposure, potentially. Like, luckily, it was negative, preventing me from trying. Like, a lot of stuff was trying to force it. This movie had a personal connection to me. Right. This movie was, my dad was the one that got me hooked into this franchise. It was a personal connection for me. And I think he would have liked this movie. I'm too bad he wasn't there with me to see this. But I really appreciate, like, because this movie's personal to me. And I kind of felt attacked a little bit by everybody's telling me not to see this movie. And not, or like, oh, don't waste your money. Don't go to the theater to see this. And I'm like, I had to support it. And I'm glad that I did. Because I loved it. This movie was great. Is this my number one of the year? No. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10. I enjoyed this movie. And I found the poster on Amazon for this movie. The one that, like, it kind of looked like the dubstep. And I bought it. The actual poster for this movie. Because this movie was just, it was entertaining. And then, like, and I said, I wanted to go, like, I will watch it again in the new year before it goes off HBO Max. Because this movie was this. I mean, it just watching that 45 minutes. Sure, I knew what was going to happen in it. But I just love that sequence so much. It makes me want to watch the movie again. This movie to pick up and everything, and probably takes multiple viewings. So you may have hated it the first time. Maybe watch it again or not. I don't know. It depends what you're feeling. If this movie hurt you, you probably won't watch this movie again. But if you want to probably pick up on some more stuff and maybe appreciate it more, this one maybe takes another viewing or something. Again, is this going to be my number one of the year? No, I might have it ranked higher than Spider-Man on my favorite movies of, like, I'm not calling it best movies of 2021, favorite movies. There's a lot of movies, like, again, it depends on how high. It's not going to be really high up on my list. I have a bunch of other ones that are better than both of these, both better than Spider-Man and better than this. But it's going to be in my top 10 because I just came out enjoying this movie a lot. And I was really glad that I decided to make my own opinion and not get swarmed to tell me, think one way. You're not going to like this movie. Don't spend money. Don't waste your time. The hell with that. I was going to waste my time with this one, especially when John, you said this is worse than Space Jam 2. And I was like, oh, I hated Space Jam 2. Nothing's going to reach that level. And it's tied for my number one worst movie of the year with Tom and Jerry. You're not going to get to that level. Those two were the epitome of trash. This is not garbage. Enjoy and watch this movie, and don't be toxic on Twitter. And just because a friend of yours liked this movie, don't dump them for a friend because they like The Matrix. People are going to like this.
That's pity.
Yeah, it's pity. It's like, that's the whole point of this. We're not, like, don't be bashing people. Like, I'm just, like, it looks like I'm bashing John. I'm not. I'm just busting his balls.
That's what we're doing. We're just having fun. That's what we're doing.
And then even though it felt like it didn't feel like busting balls earlier on before I saw this movie, I'm busting his balls because I can, because I want it to get revenge. This is my plan to get revenge, and it worked in a sense. But still, don't if somebody liked this movie and if you don't like this movie, you have legitimate reasons why John didn't like it. Don't go saying this movie is trash for the sake of trash, which I've seen a lot of people on Twitter. Oh, this movie's garbage. And they can't
even,
they can't say they don't have a reasoning to back that up.
Right. Exactly.
If you hated it, back up a reason why you didn't like it. Have more than just one. Oh, this movie is bad. That looks bad. Like, no, you need to have legitimate reason. Like, don't go bashing the movie for the sake of bashing it. Well, Space Jam 2 deserved to get bashed because I sat for that movie. That movie was pure garbage. And to quote that, South Park made fun of it in the post-COVID. They said in South Park in the episode, they said everybody, like, Space Jam 2 existed, and that was a big cause of COVID because everybody just gave up on life because of Space Jam 2. I mean, it's really bad when South Park makes fun of it. And so much so they had to get people to forget about, oh, sorry, guys, we're not making Space Jam 2 anymore. We're going to forget it. It's gone. I just fought a reason this is not going to turn out well. It was so bad they had to kind of do that in the South Park to make people forget about Space Jam 2 because everybody just gave up hope on life. And, yeah, this movie didn't make me give up hope.
Okay. That's good.
Space Jam 2 did. But Tamika, what's your final thoughts on this movie?
For me, all the Matrix movies, even if they're bad, I'm just fascinated with the psychology and the lore of the Matrix. And I think in this one, a lot of the social issues were brought out. You brought out opioid abuse and repressed memories and just recalling memories or just plugging into who you are and not forgetting about it. I guess to me, that's what this film was about to me, was just not forgetting who you are, who your true self is, getting off the treadmill of life, quote unquote. Also,
never giving up on life, like keep fighting. No matter how tough it is, keep fighting to save the one you love.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was Neo trying to get back with Trinity. And I love that aspect to it. I really did. Sorry, Tamika.
No, that's fine. I also like the fact that they were shooting the camera on us as the audience too. Like, this is how the society views the Matrix. They're all plugged into the Matrix. It's time to unplug them out of the Matrix. You know, just the whole folklore and just making fun of the audience or Warner Brothers or whoever else they want to make fun of. I thought it was pretty clever. Was it a great movie? No, it was a good movie. I don't know if I would give it a A or a B, maybe like a C or B minus. For me personally, but I would still say watch the movie on HBO Max or go see it in the theater so you can determine for yourself.
Very well said, y'all. Very well said. So, with that being said, Tamika, where can everybody follow you at if they want to go in and follow you on social media and all that other good stuff?
Okay. All right. So, I'm part of Two Blurred Girls Podcasts. We are on Facebook at Two Blurred Girls Podcast. We're also on Instagram at Two Blurred Girls _podcast. We're on Twitter at Blurred Two Girls. And we're also on Twitch under the same name. We also have an audio podcast under the same name, Two Blurred Girls. And we're on Apple. We're on Audible, Amazon, iHeartRadio. Anchor, Breaker, just everywhere that podcasts are shown. I'm not sure we're doing a show tomorrow, but you can catch our other episodes on those streaming platforms.
All right. And guys, here's the thing. Sunday, Tamika will be joining me at 2:00 Eastern time, 1:00 Central time. And this is what we're going to be doing on January 2nd. We're actually doing a indie podcast unite episode where we'll have several different podcasters. And we have Curtis from the Listen, Listen, Listen podcast. We have Scene Invaders. We also have Micro Break making a special cameo appearance. Not only that, but we also have the Hamilton Brothers. They're going to be coming on the show as well. It's Happy Hour with the Hamilton Brothers. They have a little podcast. Just imagining going to a bar and sitting next to them, and they're having this different conversations. And that's basically what their podcast is. Then, of course, we also have the Western Review is going to be on there with us. He was there for two of the episodes that we did on Movie Lovers Unite. As a matter of fact, Tamika was actually part of that on the Halloween episode.
Halloween,
Halloween Kills. So he's going to be on there. Like I said, we have several podcasters, and that's going to start, like I said, 1:00 Central Time, 2:00 Eastern Time. And of course, 7:00 PM General Mountain Time. So go ahead, check us out over there on the YouTube channel and on Facebook as well, because that's where it's going to be streaming at. Of course, if you guys want to go ahead and follow me under Movie Lovers TV Lovers Unite on Facebook, under the same name brand on Instagram and on Pinterest as well. If you want to get an audio-only podcast episode and many podcast episodes that we do here at Movie Lovers Unite, you guys can get that wherever you guys get your major podcast at. Then, of course, go over to Good Pods. That's where Tamika and I are at and everything. Matter of fact, that's who's sponsoring our episode for Sunday as well. Nice. So Good Pods is actually going to be sponsoring us. Good Pods is basically the social media platform for podcasters. We can reply to your comments. You can rate us on Good Pods and all that other good stuff. So go on ahead, head over to Good Pods, rate us, let us know what you think about us. Also, too, Spotify now has a way that you can rank us. And then also, too, you can also go on ahead and rank us on Apple Podcasts as well. Then, of course, go on ahead and follow me underneath TikTok underneath Movie Lovers Unit Zero. And then, of course, if you guys want to, go on ahead, follow me underneath Movie Lovers Unit on Twitter. Yes, and then after that, like you guys can go on ahead and email me.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Then, of course, you guys can go on ahead and email me at movielovesunite@gmail.com. And thanks again to Mika. I do appreciate you guys talking about The Matrix. I do appreciate you guys being on the show. You guys have a great and happy new year. Have a safe new year. And I'll be seeing you next year, Tamika, on Sunday.
All right. Cool. I'll be there.
So thanks again, Charlie. I do appreciate it as well.
You're welcome.
And always until next time, guys. It's been real. It's been fun. I can't wait to do this again. And bye-bye.